Learn this week about a variety of the great people of faith. And one of them they learned about was Moses. Moses, who was called from the simple, quiet life of a shepherd to become an instrument of liberation for the Hebrew people. Moses would go on to do some extraordinary things. He would lead the people out of slavery in Egypt. He would divide great waters. He would call water from a rock. He would receive God's 10 basic words for how to live. But Moses' most amazing accomplishment, his most extraordinary action, was that he became younger as he aged. Over the course of his life, he became newer. He became stronger in faith. And here's the amazing thing. Anyone who is in Christ, anyone who is a believer, is supposed to be about the process of being made new. If we are in Christ, we're all about the process of becoming younger as we age physically. Younger in spirit. Now, I know there is a kind of customary arc in people's attitude toward life. When you're young, you're full of energy and excitement. Your eyes are wide open to the wonder of the world. Your soul is surprised by novelty. You're astounded by newness. But as you get older, your energy drains, your enthusiasm goes. Your wealth of experience makes you turn life into something drab and ordinary. You become insensate to wonder, blind to miracle. As you grow older, your appreciation for life's wonder dims. So goes the argument. The problem is the argument is wrong. Sure, children have more excitement, enthusiasm in some ways. However, usually they're excited about superficial and ephemeral things. The truth is, the older I become, the more my capacity for wonder has multiplied. The older I become, the more I feel things more deeply. The older I become, the more curious I am about questions that I never thought about as a child, like, what keeps the ivy sticking to the walls on Wrigley Field? Why are bananas yellow? What makes roses have their aroma? When you shake a big box of Planters peanuts, why do all the big nuts come to the top? Those are important questions that you don't ask as a child. Children ask those kind of questions, but when the answers are intricate and complex, they lose interest. But when you're an adult, even when they're intricate and complex, your wonder grows. Remember a few years ago, walking along a meadow in April, as the white wafer moon was setting in the west just over some blossoming trees, and the beautiful symmetry of that moment brought chills to my body and a tear to my eye. But you have to be old for that to happen. A child could look at that and not feel wonder. It's the old who say to the young, come see this, gaze on this. You won't see this every day. The older we become, the greater should be our capacity for wonder at the extraordinary nature of life in all its complexity and intricacy. Which brings us to Moses. Sure, Moses was a great man, but Moses did not start as a great man. Moses started as a young kid with an identity crisis, a teenager who didn't know if he was Egyptian or Hebrew, and didn't resolve that conflict until he saw an Egyptian abusing a Hebrew, and with his bad temper, which he never controlled, never learned to control, he killed the Egyptian, and he fled. He went out into the wilderness. He was lucky to find good people to take him in. He fell in love, married a good woman, got a low-paying but stable job, and thought he would live out his life as a shepherd. But the Word of God called him to be an instrument of liberation, called him out of a burning bush. But even in the presence of that miraculous, Moses said, "No thanks." God said, "Don't worry, Pharaoh won't believe you, but I'll create mighty works in you." And Moses said, "Forget Pharaoh, my own people won't believe me." So what did God do? In one of the most extraordinary verses in all the Bible, God gave Moses something precious. He gave him his name. "My name is I Am Who I Am, Yahweh." In the Middle East, the most intimate, personal thing you could do is to give someone your name. God gave Moses his name, Yahweh. Even then, Moses wouldn't accept the job. It took Moses throwing a staff on the ground and watching God turn it to a snake and then a rod again. It took God turning his hand leprous and then whole again. It took God answering Moses' complaint that he didn't speak so well, for Moses to finally say, "Okay." But still, he said, "Why don't you get somebody else?" My point is, Moses may have turned into a great man, but originally he was not made of very spiritually stern stuff. He had a bad temper. He stuttered. He had a meager spiritual imagination. He did not think that God could really use him. In a very real sense, his soul was closed. But as he began to live in his relationship with God, his soul became younger. He realized God could do extraordinary things through him. Could divide waters and bring water from a rock and ask for manna and quail from heaven and receive God's Ten Commandments. God could use him in extraordinary ways. His spiritual imagination expanded. So that when Moses died at age 120, Deuteronomy says of him, "His eye was not dimmed, nor his natural force abated." Moses could look back upon his former life of doubt and say, "I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now." How many of us realize that the theme of becoming newer creatures, becoming younger every day of soul, is central to our gospel? How does Revelation end with a vision? "I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne say, 'Behold, the dwelling of God is with people. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. All of those former things will have passed away. Behold, I make all things new.'" Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is being made a new creature.
We're supposed to be growing younger spiritually.
Nicodemus comes to Jesus asking for the secret of spiritual growth, and Jesus says to him, you got to be born again. You've got to trust God with absolute dependence like an infant trusts its parent.
You want to understand the Christian life? When you are in Christ, you are supposed to be being made new. You're supposed to be growing younger of soul. You're supposed to be changing.
The problem is, regardless of chronological age, some people's faith, their outlook, their attitudes calcify, fossilize,
and they don't think themselves capable of growth or change.
Some years ago, I knew a grandmother at age 70 who would astound her grandchildren by doing cartwheels. I've also known quite a number of 7-year-olds who didn't think they could do cartwheels. It's not that the 70-year-old thought she was 7, or the 7-year-olds thought they were 70. But when the grandmother was 7, she realized that she could turn flips. And she never stopped believing she could turn flips. So she was still doing it. Whereas many 7-year-olds can't conceive of their body doing flips. And so they can't. Sure, plenty of people, as they age, become intransigent, inflexible. But that's not the way life is supposed to work. The more you know, the more you experience, the more knowledge you gain, the more wisdom you gather, the greater should be your appreciation for the intricacy and the wonder of the world. The young physician comes out of med school with his textbooks and his journal articles, and he sees a patient and has this symptom, and this symptom, and said, it must be this. The older physician who has seen many an exception to the rule says, wait a second. It looks like this, but you might be dealing with an anomaly. The young lawyer looks at the contract and says, boy, that's airtight. The older lawyer looks at it and says, wow, that thing's full of loopholes and obfuscations. The lay people look at the scientific world and said, all the great questions have been answered. The scientist looks at the scientific world and says, wow, every single discovery reveals more that we do not know than what we know. Every single discovery raises more questions than it answers. The more we grow in faith, the more our relationship with God matures, the greater should be our appreciation for the intricacy and the complexity and the beauty of faith. Some years ago, in one of my theological journals, I ran across a series that took place over several months that was entitled, How My Mind is Changed. Every month, one of the world's most foremost theologians would talk about how over the last 10 or 20 years, their theology, their mindset, their outlook had completely transformed. Sometimes they said, I was completely wrong back then. But most of the time they just said, my faith has grown. My perspective has matured. And they all said the same thing. If I believed now what I believed 20 years ago, that would have meant that my soul had been closed to God. It would have meant my faith is dead.
How many of you are growing newer in soul and spirit?
How many of you have matured, have looked at God differently, looked at people differently, looked at faith differently, looked at worship differently? How have you matured? How have you grown? How have you changed? If your outlook has not altered in the last 15 to 20 years, it might be that your faith is dead.
Paul said to Christians, in Christ, we are free.
But the freedom Christ gives us scares many Christians.
But that freedom is meant to allow us to mature and move and change and transform.
I think of a conversation between Charlie Brown and Linus as they're walking down the road, and Linus says, I talked to my granddad last night, and he's kind of sad. Why? Said Charlie Brown. Because, said Linus, he lost in the finals of a tennis tournament last night. Charlie Brown said, well, that's bad. And Linus said, yeah, but granddad said, learning to handle losing is just a part of growing up. Now, hidden in that exchange is this truth. Even the granddad knew he was still growing up. We're all meant to be growing, changing, transforming. Our physical bodies are aging, but our souls are meant to be newer. One day, our earthly bodies will expire. And if we are in Christ, we know three things for sure. Christ will greet us with a new robe, a new name, and will declare us fully a new creature.
And then we can look back at our earthly lives, start to finish, and say, I was so much older then, but I'm younger than that now. May we pray together.
Lord, challenge us to grow, to mature, to expand our souls and understanding. May these children teach us how to grow. May we understand that unless we enter your kingdom as they do, with open hearts and energized minds, we can't grasp your good news. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As the Spirit of God challenges you this morning, we offer you invitation to respond. These children have shown you the way of faith. Come to the Christ as Savior and Lord. Embrace Him. Come enter into believer's baptism. Come splice your life into this community and be encouraged by transfer of letter or statement. Come make church with us in this family of God of all generations. Come as we stand to sing.